entitled Mission Impossible. Many of you are quite familiar with it, of course. And there were secret agents that accepted some of the most seemingly impossible missions to go against crime lords and evil dictators. And these secret agents were experts in their field, and they committed themselves to these remarkable, amazing, impossible missions. In fact, the IMF, the Impossible Mission Force, embarked upon these missions, and they understood that their mission was a bit risky at times, but most certainly very necessary. You know, this series was so popular, it aired for 7 seasons on CBS, and there were 171 broadcasted episodes. In fact, reruns still are being watched by many today. You can access them on Amazon or MeTV affiliate stations. And what I find so amazing about this is that, and you have men and women sitting in the recliners, right? And they're watching these unfolding missions, and you just drink all the sweet tea in the fridge gone, you know, you eat up all the snacks because you're anxious, and it's so thrilling, you know. It's so stimulating. That you just wonder if the mission will be successful, which it always is. All from the armchair in the living room. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ has given us a Mission Impossible assignment. Now, my fear is that we're going to sit in our living rooms and find a good comfortable posture in our recliners and vicariously experience the thrill and the excitement through others. Now, I know in the next few months you would love to hear stories about what God's doing here at Liberty. My question is, are you going to be a part of the IMF team that makes it happen? God, the Almighty One, our incredible God of creation, and the Lord Jesus Christ has given us, each one of us, and there are no exceptions here today, has given each of us a Mission Impossible assignment. Should you choose to accept it? Luke chapter 4, beginning with verse 16. Luke chapter 4, beginning with verse 16. And Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." Talking about a Mission Impossible assignment. And Jesus closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogues were fixed on Jesus. And Jesus began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all who were speaking well of him and wondering at the gracious words which were falling from his lips, and they were saying, is this not Joseph's son? And in short order, they began to run him out of the city to seek his life, to throw him off the precipice of Nazareth. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. There is a basis for our Mission Impossible assignment. Based on the authority of Scripture, Jesus was given a Mission Impossible assignment. And this is found in Isaiah chapter 61. Now here's the story, and most of you are familiar with it. Jesus returned back to Nazareth, his hometown. It's where he grew up. And it happened to be Shabbat, and Jesus made his way to the synagogue, as was his custom. He would never be found outside a church, if you will, on the Lord's Day. And an attendant of the synagogue secured the Isaiah scroll and handed it to Jesus. Because at this time, his popularity was soaring. You see, stories are being told of Jesus healing folks and doing mighty things and teaching like no one else. And they knew from his upbringing there was something different about this guy. So they hand Jesus the Isaiah scroll. Jesus turns to what we know as Isaiah 61. Well, there were no chapter markings in the scroll, but Jesus knew exactly how to get there. And there Jesus reads his Mission Impossible assignment. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set those who are oppressed free, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Based on the authority of Scripture, Jesus understood his Mission Impossible assignment. Now, based on the same Scripture, based on the authority of Holy Scripture, we have been given a Mission Impossible assignment. Now, if you've been studying worshiping with us for some time, you know exactly what I'm speaking of. We call this the Great Commission, right? The Great Commission is to go ye into all the world. In the Greek, that word is ethne. Go into all the ethnes. Every people group, everyone who's different, every little segment of the communities that's different. By the way, we have a very diverse community, do we not? Go into all the ethnies, all the people groups, and preach the gospel, share the gospel. And then when you share the gospel, baptize everyone that you can, kind of my paraphrase, and then disciple them. I mean, teach them absolutely everything I've taught you. And I'm with you. Jesus said, to the end of the age, to the end of the world. Go into all the world and share the gospel. This is your mission, should you choose to accept it. Now, if you are content to be an average American type Christian, half-hearted, then I would say there's very little purpose in your life. In fact, I find myself being a bit confused of sorts as to why so many people buy as many volumes of books regarding purpose in life. And how many times do I preach on purpose and I still get so much interest from the pew? We make it so complicated. You see, we want to find this little esoteric message, but yet we want to set it in our our comforters and in our recliners. And when the gospel says to share the gospel, we say, well, it's got to be something else. I mean, for me, it can't be anything like that because I'm not a preacher. The Great Commission is given to us all. If you're here today and your spiritual life is boring and uneventful, then I would challenge you to consider the Jesus that you are serving. Because the Jesus of the Bible is the Savior of the world. The Jesus of the Bible is the almighty, powerful, miracle worker. The Jesus of the Bible can walk on water. The Jesus of the Bible can heal the lame, raise the dead. I'm just asking you, what Jesus are you serving? Now, so many folks, they serve the flannel graph type Jesus. You remember those days? Before we had all this sophisticated digital stuff, Pastor Steve, we used flannel graphs. That's been a little while ago. Yeah, here is what the flannel graph Jesus is. You get to move him around as you want to. You get to put him exactly where you want to put him. And he looks just so nice where you put him. It's just where you want him. But I assure you that the Lord Jesus of the New Testament is not a flannel graph Jesus. He is the one who is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the almighty Savior of the world and the coming Lion of Judah. I want you to know the Jesus that you serve. You've been given a mission impossible assignment from Scripture. So have I. You see, we serve a radical and powerful Jesus. And if we're living a bored spiritual life or an uneventful spiritual life, nothing really happens in my life, preacher. I'm not seeing God do anything. He never does anything. I just kind of come to church. I'm kind of going through the motions. I'm not really experiencing anything really significant in my life. Then you are serving the wrong Jesus. He has given each of us a mission, impossible assignment, based on the Great Commission, Matthew 28. Now accept your mission assignment. Next two Sundays, as I mentioned earlier, we are going to be sharing with you 10 new compassion ministries that I believe God is leading us to begin to make a difference in the lives of so many in our community. Now, these are ministries that Liberty will come together and say, okay, we're going to focus on the hurts of our community. You'll hear about those next Sunday and then the following. Today, I want us to consider our individual mission impossible assignments. Because God has an assignment for each of us. Now, let me give you some examples. God may be giving you some of these Mission Impossible assignments. By the way, if you're interested, these come from the Mission Impossible assignment of Jesus. First of all, share the gospel with the poor. I mean, Mission Impossible, preacher. I mean, there's no way. I'm not going out to the poor. I'm telling you, the poor only want my stuff. Well, you know what? Here's the thing. And that is, someone needs to tell the poor that there is something better than a good day. And that is a great every day forever. And that great day forever comes through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Someone needs to tell them that there's something better than just a fish, or there's something better than bread, that there's something even better than a place to sleep, and that is knowing you have eternal life forever and glory with our great God. This is your mission. Will you accept it? Your mission may be to proclaim release to the captives. Preacher, that's a mission impossible there. You know, only a few of us know someone who's incarcerated. But I want to challenge us a moment. You know, most captives don't live behind bars. They live in living rooms just like in our homes. You see, they are in bondage to pornography, to anger, to hate, to violence, to selfishness, to materialism. And someone needs to proclaim to them freedom. That you don't have to serve these items. You don't have to give your heart and your mind and your inner person to these things. Someone needs to proclaim freedom from bondage through Jesus. This may be your mission assignment if you choose to accept it. Perhaps your mission impossible assignment is to provide recovery of sight to the blind. Preacher, you can check me off of that one because that's definitely a mission impossible for me. I can't heal anyone. If I could heal someone, I'd heal myself. I can't heal anyone. I can't heal the blind. Guess what? You're not supposed to heal the blind. God takes care of that, and he does his job quite well. Amen? You see, Jesus was the one who healed the blind. Consider yourself a surgical assistant of the Almighty Savior Jesus. You see, this means we go to people in darkness. This means we go to people who are living in hopelessness, people who are living in despair, and someone needs to tell them that there is recovery in Jesus. I love this word recovery that's found in this passage of Luke chapter 4. The word recovery here means that you're able to see now by looking up. It's an interesting concept. Recovery means that you can see by looking up. Interesting. Who would have thought that healing or wholeness can come by looking up? You know what? I've found that to be true my entire life. And that is when people get their eyes off themselves, get their eyes off their blindness, get their eyes off their problems, get their eyes off others that they have trust in, and look up. Up from where their help comes. Look up to heaven. Look up to glory. Look up to God. Look up to Jesus. When we can lead others to look up, the Lord Jesus heals. Now I've seen it, and so have you. There's recovery for the blind, for those who look up. You can do that. This may be your mission if you choose to accept it. Perhaps your mission impossible would be to set free those who are oppressed. Preacher, another mission impossible for me. How in the world can I set the oppressed free? Well, let's first of all understand what oppressed means. Oppressed means that people are broken. It means they are weakened. It means they are crushed. Now, you know a lot of folks like this. In fact, you live with them. And if you don't live with them, you live around them. And if you don't live right around them, you work with them and you associate with them. How many people do you know that are oppressed financially? I mean, there's so much financial bondage, oppression on them. I mean, it's just like they can't live. How many folks do you know that are weakened because of a broken relationship? I mean, their whole mind, their whole soul, their whole essence were given to this one relationship. Now there's been divorce, or there's family separation, or whatever. And now they are weakened in life. They're moving, but man, they're just barely moving. Yep, that happens. Folk all around us, that's occurring. How many people that you know that are crushed in spirit because of a failure? There's been a failure in their life. A work failure, job failure, family failure, a moral failure. And because of a failure, there is this sense of being crushed. They're crushed, they're diminished in life. Who here will go to them and say, I want you to know there is freedom in Jesus. He can make you whole again. How many here could say, I could go to someone who has been oppressed with financial issues or because of relational concerns or because of failure matters. I can go to them and tell them the good news of Jesus. Do you know what the Bible says? You have been given the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Now we might need to study that one of these days because that's pretty significant. I mean, keys unlock doors. And we could say, that's a mission impossible. There's no way I could take one of these. That's the whole point. You can't, but he can. Because he has given you authority to do impossible missions. Perhaps you're here today, and your mission impossible assignment is proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. You might be saying, not me. And I'll tell you why that's a mission impossible assignment for me, because I don't feel any authority, any right to go up to someone and say, this is your year. This is it. The grace of God is going to turn your life around right now. I just don't have that authority. I don't feel comfortable doing that. Preacher, I'm not a prophet. I don't know that. But let me ask you that. Do you know Jesus? Do you believe Jesus? Do you believe the Word of God? I want you to know that this is the year, this is the time, this is the moment that we need to tell folks that the favor of God is available to them. The grace of the Lord Jesus is at hand should they accept him. According to Thomas Hammond, the executive director of the Georgia Baptist Mission Board, the last year, 72% of all Georgians never darkened the door of a church. That is more than seven people that you walk in front of, or they walk in front of you. Seven out of every 10 Georgians did not step in a church last year. You see, someone needs to proclaim to them, this is the year. They've lived in disappointment. They've lived in despondency. Their dreams have been crushed. But this is the year. And if we will accept Christ, if we will follow Christ and walk with Christ, he can turn it around for you. He can, by his grace, give you an abundant life. This may be your mission if you choose to accept it. Now, God will enable you to be successful in your mission impossible assignment, because here's what I'm hearing you think. I'm hearing you think, preacher, of course I would accept a mission impossible assignment if I felt I could be successful. I mean, I'm just me. I'm just a little old me. I mean, I love to do the things that the apostles did. I'd love to make a difference in someone's life. I would love to have the thrill, to experience the thrill, to be there where the darkness and the light come together and converge, but the light peels back the darkness. I'd love to see lives change and people's families transform. I've transformed. I'd love to experience all that you're talking about. I'd love to see the blind see. I'd love to see the oppressed set free. I'd enjoy it. I would get out of my comfortable recliner if I felt like I could do it. But I'm just me, just little old me. Well, let's just talk about little old us for a moment, shall we? We can be successful in our mission impossible assignment because we have the power of the Spirit in us. Chapter 4, verse 14. Before Jesus went to the synagogue, proclaimed his mission impossible assignment in front of his fellow community where he was reared. Here's what we read. And Jesus returned to Galilee, that's where Nazareth is found. And Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the surrounding district. But can you see how imperative it is that Jesus entered Galilee in the power of the Spirit? Now get this, even Jesus himself didn't use his own power to do his mission impossible assignment. Even Jesus didn't. Jesus relied upon the power of the Spirit from his Father. Now, if Jesus needed the Spirit's power in his life, don't you think we do? But let me ask you this then. If the Spirit of the Almighty God was sufficient for Jesus, the one who was from Nazareth, the one who was born in a manger, the one that had to be exiled to Egypt because of the fright of Herod, the king. This Jesus, this boy Jesus, who became a man. If the power of the Spirit was enough for him, don't you think it'll be enough for you? I'm going to ask you a question this morning. And I want you to answer, but you don't necessarily need to answer it out loud. Are you a Spirit-filled follower of Jesus? Are you Spirit-filled? And I mean Holy Spirit-filled. Now, if I was to ask you to chart that on the survey sheet, there'd be some of you say, I don't know the answer to that question. Kind of like saying, well, I'm driving down the road, and I know I'm driving down the road because I got gas in my tank, but I don't know if I got any gas in my tank. Of course you do. You're driving down the road. I don't know that that's a good answer. Some of you say, well, I'm not. I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm not Spirit-filled. Some of you, I hope and trust, would say, yes, I am Spirit-filled. Now, this morning does not permit me to unfold the scriptures and speak about this notion of being Spirit-filled. But I want to be as clear as I can and helpful as I can be right at the moment. Jesus was Spirit-filled. He came to give us a spiritual baptism, which means that we become Spirit-filled followers of Jesus. It's his desire, his wish, his aim for every single one of us to be Spirit-filled. Now, this doesn't mean that you speak in tongues. There's no indication Jesus ever spoke in tongues. And by the way, I met some pretty ornery people that spoke in tongues, and some wonderful godly people that spoke in tongues too. I'm sure we have some here this morning. But that's not it. It's not what comes out of your lips. You see, Spirit-filled means that the power of God's in your life. The presence of God's with you. You're guided by him. You walk with him. You rely on him. You depend on him. It means his strength is your strength. You don't live alone. You don't go in life by yourself. You say, I'd sign up for that if I knew how. Here's a crash course. Number one, repent of all known sin. Repent of all sin. Because sin's an impediment. Some of our problem is we just like our sin. I like it and I just don't like it. Listen, I've been there before. We all have sins we like. But the point of it is we have to repent of all sin, especially those that he revealed to us, and repent of them. We can't say, well, yeah, I'm a spirit-filled follower of Jesus, but I know this week I'm going, there's some sin. I'm just going to say, I got this, I'm going to be doing this one sin because I kind of like it, but otherwise I'll do pretty good. Repent. Trust Him for it. Call out to Him. Cry out to Him. Cry out to God. When's the last time you've just cried out to God? Cried out to Him. I don't know about you. I kind of like to do this by my lonesome with God. That's what Jesus said, go into a prayer closet, because there's a time when you need to shut the door and just get alone with God. Now, there are times when my wife and I, we're pretty affectionate, but we're not affectionate at church much. Just not kind of what we do publicly. But I don't want to get off the track, but there are times we're just intimate. I'll just leave that alone. When's the last time you got alone with God and cried out? You shut your door in private and you said, I don't have to worry about someone looking and seeing on me. I shut the door and I just cried out to God. Maybe it's in your car. Maybe it's in your prayer closet at home. Maybe it's somewhere else. And you just shut the door. Wasn't nobody but you and God. And you just cried out to Him. It's time we cry out to Him. Because crying out to Him means, Lord, I'm absolutely dependent. I'm desperate for You. I mean, there's nothing going on in here apart from You. And then finally, live by faith. Just live by faith. No matter what you're doing, big things, small things, just live by faith. Just trust Him no matter what's going on. He wants to fill you with His Spirit. That's His intent. You can fulfill your mission impossible assignment by the power of His Spirit. Amen? Now, naysayers will not thwart your mission. Now, you're going to have naysayers, so did Jesus. Jesus went to the synagogue and He read Isaiah 61 because that was the authority for His mission impossible assignment, and this were the back home folks who knew Him and saw Him grow up and such, and so He proclaimed it to them. Hey, this is what I'm doing here. This is my mission impossible assignment. I've accepted it, and here's what I'm up to. Now, here's what's interesting. Initially, they thought, this sounds pretty good. Wow, Jesus, you're going to do all that? Wow, that's for some. But then they begin to question Him and wonder. Whoa, wait a minute. That sounds good and all, but hey, wait. I remember you when you were a boy. I remember when you used to work in the carpenter shop and build chairs along with your daddy, Joseph. You're just like us. That's where they were wrong. Now, people are going to say the same thing about you. If you accept your mission possible assignment and say, listen, I'm all in. I believe I serve a radical Jesus, and I'm going to get out of my chair and out of my comfort, and I'm going to embark, and I'm going to just go after it, and I'm going to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know everything that's going to unfold, but I'm just going to trust Him. I'm going to walk with Him. I'm just going to do it. Someone's going to say, well, wait a minute. What are you doing? What right do you have? Oh, you're a preacher now, huh? I remember you. And that what they'll do is they'll identify your humanness. Everybody in there human, right? They'll identify your humanness. And then if that doesn't discourage you to their pleasure, then they'll talk about your failures and sins. Oh, yeah, they know them. Most of the failures and sins we think we've covered up most of the time we have. And they'll remind you of our sins and our failures. There was a time when I was a farm boy in southeastern Ohio, but I'm not who I used to be. There was a time when I was John and Ruth Wood's boy, but I'm not who I used to be. There was a time when I would question and doubt and wonder, but I'm not who I used to be. Now what's your story? None of us are perfect, but the Lord has changed us. We're not who we used to be. We're different now, and we're growing, and we're becoming. And we're not going to allow naysayers to rob God's kingdom of those that Jesus died for and gave his blood to save. We're not going to turn back. We're not going to abort the mission. We're not going to give in and concede to failure because the Spirit of God is in us. Now you may be thinking, well, preacher, I've been listening the last few weeks, and I think you've got visions of grandeur. Well, this is only partially true. In all honesty, the part that's true is that everything in my life in Jesus is rather grand. But I'm not grand. Jesus is. I'm just a servant. I'm a bond slave. I serve the King. Now I must admit that I have been renewed in my vision for the will of God in our lives because of the authority of Scripture and because of his vision given to me and others. We can peel back the darkness of the south side. We can change the direction of many lives. And based on the authority of God's word and the truth of his scripture, the faithfulness of his revelation, this is our mission. Should we choose to accept it? Are you willing to leave the comfortable armchair of your living room? Step out of your recliner and say, I'm going to move from being just entertained by the victories of others, and I want victory in my own life. Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of our Savior Jesus that we would understand and accept our mission and possible assignments as faithful followers of Jesus, servants and bondservants and slaves of the great King. We'll humble ourselves, rely on your strength and power. Be overwhelmed by your presence, so much so that other stuff just don't matter much anymore. We'll go all in because our Lord Jesus is a mighty Savior. Here we are, take us now, Lord, take us. May your will be done during this very important time of decision. May Jesus be glorified. In his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the preaching ministry at Liberty Baptist Church. We trust the Lord will show his mercy and grace to you. At Liberty, we believe everyone counts. Our motto is one church, all people. If there is a need in your life that we can meet, please contact us soon. Perhaps you need prayer for a personal matter. We'll be glad to pray for you. Maybe you need spiritual counsel. We have trained staff to help you. Perhaps you're looking for a friendly church that bases its teaching and practice on the Bible. Then consider us your home church. You can contact us by phone at 770-461-5644. You may wish to learn more about the ministry of Liberty Baptist Church from our website. It is www.lbcfayette.org. May God greatly bless you, and thanks again for your interest in the life-transforming gospel of Jesus Christ.